Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, wherever or whenever you are listening. Thank you for joining us. You are now rocking with the best. My name is Kwame. Hope everyone listening is having a good day and enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the NHL playoffs that have been just great, and it's given me this realization that I cannot pick a first round for the life of me. We'll talk about that in a few. Today's guest is from Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab, Randeep Janda. We're going to talk about some hockey, some life, a little this, a little that. So do us a favor, make sure you hit us up on all of our social media platforms under Soul on Ice, the podcast. Also subscribe, rate, and review when you get a minute. Big shout out to Brother B. Joining me today, of course, is one half of the Get Busy Boys, Elijah Roberts. What's happening, E? The last few days have been nice out. I hope you have had a chance to enjoy the nice weather safely.
Yeah, I've did a little bit of work doing some landscaping. Been going for a lot of runs recently. And then watching a lot of hockey, basketball, world championships. So just kind of been going outside, but doing a lot of stuff inside still.
So just a quick breakdown of the playoffs so far. And just quickly, we are recording this on Monday, May 24th. So happy May 24th for all my Canadians out there. And some of these things that I'm going to be talking about are going to be different because, you know, the podcast comes out on the Wednesday. So I'm just breaking down everything from Monday when we recorded. So Colorado has swept the Blues. Vegas is up 3-1, could be moving on once this show comes out. Toronto tied with Montreal, one apiece. Oilers could be out by time this show is out. They are down 3-0 to the Winnipeg Jets. They had a heartbreaking loss on Sunday, which would have made it 2-1. Tampa Bay, as of this recording, is up 3-1. I'm so surprised about the Capitals. I did not think that the Bruins would just walk on top of them like they did. And I also cannot believe that I picked the Blues over the Avs. That was the worst pick ever of all of my picks. Other than that, I've been having a blast watching the games. Elijah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of always known your picks aren't the best. So
no, they're so bad.
No surprise there, but it's kind of three series that have stuck out to me. That Washington one, I thought it was going to be a lot closer. But I think just that breakdown and that one overtime with the bad turnover in the goal, everything just went downhill from there. And then Carolina and Nashville, that I thought Carolina was going to sweep them. A win in five, and you know they were so close twice, double overtime twice, and now it's a series. It's best 2 out of 3. So that series, and then this one I'm surprised about, but I want to say I did say this was going to happen. Winnipeg was going to beat Edmonton because of their goalie, and we saw that in the first two games. And you know Edmonton should have won the last game, but I don't know. In the playoffs, you can't let your foot off the gas for even one step.
Nope.
And hey, it was just what I said with Winnipeg. They're rolling. They finished the season hot. I think overall they've won their last five games in a row. And you know, I still have them beating Toronto or Montreal because I don't even know if Toronto losing JT, that's a big time player to lose. And the other thing I noticed is which is really unfortunate, how all these teams are, their buildings are packed right now. So they're really getting that home
energy,
that home game advantage. That's, if you look at Nashville, I would say that's why they won their last two games. So I hope by the time we get out of the North Division, maybe some fans are allowed back in the building, because when Toronto goes down to face, I don't know who they face, but if they go play Carolina and that building sold out, and then they come back to Toronto to an empty building, that's going to make a difference. So,
yeah,
it's been interesting so far, but I'm excited to keep watching.
again, like the Oilers one is the one that has shocked me the most, only because like I can understand the first two games. Okay, you get two games, you're down, and I said to Jordan Buhat from Gronish, I was talking to him, and I was like, Oilers need a statement win in game three. They need to, they can't just win by one goal. They got to be up. And they had that into the third. And then one bad penalty just changed everything. And that was it. And I don't know. Somebody on my Facebook page said to me, if there's any team that can come back from a 3-0 deficit, it'd be the Oilers. And I'm saying, just like Elijah Roberts said, if your team only got two guys that you're depending on, I don't know where you're going winning four straight.
Yeah. I mean, I did say it before. I just have two players. I mean, the rest of the team's all right, but Winnipeg's too good. And like I said, McDavid and Dreisel need to play out of their minds. And the game that they were winning, McDavid had 3 or 4 points and Dreisel had 3 or 4 points and nobody else on the team had anything.
And
other than the guy in on the points.
And the craziest thing is when they were the tying goal, McDavid rang that off the boards and Winnipeg intercepted it when Darnell Nurse was just right there. All he had to do was a simple pass. The best player in the world should not be making that type of mistake. So I don't know, man.
He gets a pass for that.
Does he? Okay.
When you get 3 points in the game and you're in on every team's goal.
Okay. I can't give him the pass on that only because the momentum is shifting.
If he was pointless on the night and making mistakes like that, then all right. But how much more can the guy do? He's every Oilers goal he's in on.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, defense wins championships. So I'll always say that. Anyways,
this is why
they're going, but you're right. Okay, so you know, we'll see when we come back to you guys. A lot will have happened, and we should be
in the second round by then. We're close to game sevens for a lot of teams, so
that's right, and we'll be able to break it down to you. All right, up next from Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab, we got the homie Randeep Janda rocking with the best. All right, our next guest is part of what we all want for this game, growth, diversity, and being a part of a welcoming space. Holding it down on Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab, as well as Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Soul Brothers and Soul Sisters, please welcome to the show, Randeep Janda. What's happening, big bro?
What's up, Kwame? How are you doing, man? Awesome to be on with you. Huge fan of the podcast. Love the conversations you have on here. So this is awesome for me as well, man.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you came to join us. It's really cool. I've been a fan of you guys for the last couple of years, just, you know, looking at what you guys are doing and just saying, you'll see in about 20 years, some of these kids that are going to be influenced by what they're doing from the Southeast Asian community. So it's a pleasure to have you on as a guest. And, you know, we're all talking about diversity and inclusion and the importance of growing the game. But, you know, I've also heard you speak about opportunity and what can happen if you give somebody opportunity. What are your thoughts on why opportunity should be so top on the list?
Well, opportunity, it's, you know, we've all got our kind of our own unique experiences, our own unique background or experience, but that opportunity factor, I'll speak from experience. I didn't go to broadcast school. I didn't go to journalism school. I'm somebody that, you know, an individual believed in me and said, if I give this kid an opportunity, he's going to become something. He's going to make a career out of it. And that person actually used to work with us on Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, Bhupinder Hundle. And he's a guy that saw me, you know, work behind the scenes and said, this guy, there's something there. So opportunity is important because, you know, we sometimes are programmed to think a certain way. You know, this individual can, you know, play hockey or cannot broadcast hockey. We're programmed a certain way, whether we like to think that or not. And I think that goes especially for sports and a conservative game like hockey, there are certain kind of, you know, stereotypes that we have in mind in place. But if you give somebody an opportunity, we're at that position now. We can break down those barriers. We can break down those stereotypes. And I think what, you know, looking at my career and the way it started back in 2010, 11 years ago now, I'm making myself feel old, Kwame, but just kind of like that journey. And it doesn't start without an opportunity where somebody believes in you and says, okay, I see something with this individual. And it doesn't necessarily matter, you know, what their background is, what their experience is, but there's something there. And I think with representation, especially, is that we need to acknowledge hockey's a conservative game. It's not a game that has been all that open in the past. So those opportunities you speak of, we got to give them. We got to give them to people from diverse backgrounds, because that's how they're going to make inroads into the game, right? So it's all about opportunity.
Yeah, I totally love that, man. Totally agree. And speaking of opportunity, how cool was April 24th when Hockey Night in Canada had the multilingual edition? What are all the languages that represented that night, and how cool was it to be a part of that that great night of Canadian broadcasting?
That was so awesome. And, we're lucky that, French, English, and Punjabi are now mainstays and staples every week. But to see the broadcast kind of stretch into these other languages and have that opportunity to grow in Arabic, you know, Tagalog, you had Cantonese, Mandarin, German, you had Arabic as well. I might have repeated myself there a couple of times, but I have to go through the languages because it's been a couple of weeks. And Hindi as well. So, you know, yes, having all of these languages that for many people, there's a lot of people that are already connected to the game, but maybe it never really spoke to them, right? I speak, you know, I use my example where growing up, I'm born and raised in Canada. I understand English. I was collecting hockey cards. I was playing NHL 93, NHL 94, all those games that you did when you were a kid. But my parents, they watched through me. So they kind of watched my reactions and said, okay, my kid's interested. We'll try to learn this game as well. We'll try to learn it in English. But once Punjabi came aboard, all of a sudden, there is no barrier, right? That language connection was huge. So to see, you know, X amount of years later to this happen to another language, seven language groups, that was just kind of cool. It kind of was a bit of a full circle journey where, you know, Hockey Night in Punjabi, when we started, we weren't even sure if the show was going to be, you know, it was going to continue for that matter. And now to see not only it thriving, but seven other language groups coming up and they have that same opportunity to grow. It's a pretty sweet moment for us as well.
How much do you think Hockey Night in Punjabi has led to Asian kids getting into the game?
You know, we get that. That's something I've thought about a lot. And
do you think it's making like a big impact?
So, yeah, I think it is. I think it is two fronts, though, right? One is the actual fan aspect, because you have kids that are becoming fans maybe at an earlier age, at an age before they start getting to school, and they're watching it in their house, right? Rather than interacting with kids at school and maybe getting involved there, they're watching it with their family. But what we've seen also is that a lot of the stuff that we work on our show, rather than creating that connection, it's also about those kids that are getting, you know, thinking of playing, don't know where they stand, but watching our show, all of a sudden that draws that immediate connection of, okay, there's other people that know about the game. Amrit Gill, who's our reporter host, she's doing some great work. She does profile stories on a lot of these kids. So if they tell us they play the game, we do stories on them just to highlight, hey, these are some kids that are doing it right now. These are some individuals that used to play hockey back in the day, like Robin Bauer or Manny Malhotra or, Jajad Kela, who's playing with the Oilers. We use that platform to try to get more kids involved. So, you know, and hearing back from the community, there's a lot of people saying, yeah, I picked up my, you know, my first stick last year, and it's a lot of it has to do with you guys. Or I continue to play because I see that there's others like me. So, you know, we are seeing that traction on the community level where kids, if they were involved before, they get a little bit more involved, or maybe it's their intro to the game. So we're seeing that tangible effect across the country. It's more anecdotal, in our communities. I live in Vancouver, so I see that all the time, but definitely there is an impact that we've seen in our community over the last, 10 years.
Man, that is so huge. Growing up, how were you introduced to the game?
I was okay. So for me, being in Vancouver, you see the Vancouver Canucks jersey there. It's not a graft one. Don't hate me for it. I know there's a lot of Canadian bias or rivals out there, but I'm in Vancouver, right? So
yeah.
The moment for me was '94 Pavel Bure. Pavel Bure is my all-time favorite player because he was that. He was Ovechkin before Ovechkin in a different game, way ahead of his time. Brought that speed. Brought that flamboyance. He also brought that physicality as well. He could get dirty when he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And 94, when the Canucks went to the playoffs and the cup final against New York Rangers, that's kind of where me and my family fell in love with the game. Prior to that, I was collecting cards. I was, you know, playing video games. I was always a fan. But that aha moment for me, definitely 94. And just kind of that next level of, you know, when you fall in love with the game. And generally, it has to do with the playoffs because you're like, okay, this is kind of a euphoria. That was it for me.
I mean, personally, I think the Canucks aren't that far away from the playoffs again. So, you know, maybe you find some more joy in that. But have you been enjoying these playoffs this year? I saw on Twitter you had a pretty bold prediction with the Oilers in five.
Yeah.
You know, that's not going too well. What do you got to say about that?
I got to say my bracket is done. We're not even done the first round yet. My bracket is busted. Yeah. I love the playoffs, just the level of hockey, the style of hockey. I know a lot of folks say, hey, it gets too physical, it gets too chippy, but a lot of the players just turn it up. Just seeing that the first round of playoffs, especially when everybody is relatively fresh, there's a different energy, man. And just seeing, you know, the Tampa Florida series at the outset, like they were playing for it. They were playing for it like it was a cup final. They wanted to win that. So I'm really enjoying it, but my predictions have been junk, guys. They haven't been good whatsoever.
I'm the worst at first rounds. So I'm like, forget about it. I'm not doing this no more.
So I had the Oilers, which is not looking great right now. I had the Washington Capitals taking Boston.
Me
which
too.
Which is done. So beyond that, like it's not looking great right now. But I love that hockey and. You know what's cool about just working with Hockey Night in Canada is that you're on top of everything, right? You're covering, you know, the first week we covered Washington, Boston, so we got to see a little bit of that. This past week we did Toronto, Montreal, which is an unbelievable series as well. It's got its own storyline, so we're kind of jumping from place to place. So we're on top of everything. So I'm really enjoying this round.
As a broadcaster, do you feel more pressure during the playoffs, or is it all the same for you?
No, I think as a broadcaster, when the playoffs come on, it's go time. It's time where you're saying, all right, these, you know, one of 82 is always fun. We bring our own flavor, but you know, that moment just means so much more in the playoffs. And I know the players feel that way, but as a broadcaster too, when the game's in overtime, you know, having done color commentary back in the day, you want to get it right. You know, a couple of years ago, I was doing that and sitting alongside Harnarayan Singh, I know who's been on the show as well, and just having that opportunity, like, all right, man, we got to get this right. There's no swing and a miss. You gotta hit a home run every single time. And it's the same idea for now as the host as well. It's just like, we want to make these segments engaging. We want to make fun. You know, we want to get people involved. So yeah, when the playoffs comes around, it's a different energy, and we try to hit the ballpark every single time.
So you said that Pavel Bure was your aha moment. That's probably like the first time you really felt that connection to hockey. How are you trying to pass that along to new South Asian Canadian families? How are you trying to give them that same aha moment in what you do?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just involving people as well. Obviously being, especially during COVID times, you don't have those touch points, right? I love being out in the community. I love hitting up events. I love involving myself in the game in any which way I can. But over the last 2 years, that's kind of been difficult. But with what we're doing on air, it's just that much more important. How do you get people involved? And what we try to do is we try to make, you know, moments, even during our show, when people, if they're sitting, you know, around at home and watching the game, let's involve them in the show. Let's get them sending in pictures where they're saying, they're not watching the show. They're a part of a show. We want to show that. Beyond that, I think for me, especially, and I know a lot of my colleagues feel this way as well. We're we've worked really, really hard to get to where we're at in our individual lives. But at the same time, we also acknowledge we're extremely lucky to do what we do. Covering sports on a daily basis, one of the best job I could have ever asked for. So how do I create this moment for somebody else too? And one of the things that I'm really happy with what we do in Hockey Night Punjabi and what have we've been able to do now on our radio side as well, Sportsnet 650, is how do you get more people from, you know, my background, the South Asian background, involved in the game, but also working in the game? So those opportunities, you know, you led off with opportunities. How are you including more people and giving them an opportunity to live the life that I lead? Because I'm really, you know, excited in what I do, but I'm not looking out for myself only. I want to make sure that this opportunity goes to other people of, you know, South Asian background, but any background, as long as you're good at what you do, let's open it up. So to me, that aha moment, maybe it's somebody covering, you know, broadcasting. I want to get as many young people through the doors at Hockey Night Punjabi. And if this is a vessel for them to get involved in covering sports and maybe do what I'm doing on radio, or maybe what I'm doing on Hockey Night Punjabi, I'm hoping that we can create fans. But I will also, my dream is to create broadcasters in this industry that, you know, surpass what I'm doing, surpass what Harnarine's doing, and, you know, set up the future where we talk about, you know, inclusion, we talk about opportunities, let's make them too. Let's walk that walk.
You posted a tweet not too long ago about Kamagata Moro.
Yep.
I believe that's how you pronounce it. But and you added, those who don't learn history are doomed to repeat it. What exactly happened in that incident and what's the significance of it?
I'm glad you asked about that, because that's kind of what it's important to, you know, I like sharing stories about our past and our community. And the Kamagata Maru is a ship actually that was on its way from Japan. It was carrying a number of over 300 Indian immigrants. But at that time, India was a part of the British Empire. So the rule was you could essentially come to Canada as long as you're Indians or British subjects, which they were. But when they got to Vancouver, they were stopped in the Vancouver Harbor and not allowed to disembark because of a continuous journey rule, which is essentially a rule that the government, the British Empire and the Canadian government made up to say, limiting people of color essentially landing on Canadian shores. So what happened was they were stuck in the harbor for, you know, over a month. And eventually they had to go back to India, where they were attacked by British police, Indian police at that point, and some of them were actually killed. So the reason I brought that up is that on May 23rd, that's the anniversary, 107-year anniversary of the ship coming to Vancouver's harbor. And it's one of the darkest chapters in our, one of the dark chapters in our Canadian history, is that we look at ourselves as an inclusive place, but it's never, you know, hasn't always been that way, right? And there's obviously limits to our inclusion these days as well. But even looking back 100 years ago, it's something that obviously hit my community really hard. To this day, it has a lasting, legacy as well. And that's why I think it's just important that, you know, even though that happened 107 years ago, we sometimes do this as humans to this day. So we got to remind ourselves from our history and make sure that we don't do that sort of thing again. And it's something that is brought up here in Vancouver almost every single year. And I try to keep that message alive, is that, hey, let's just remember that, you know, sometimes the people are different, but sometimes we act the same way. Right. And we got to remind ourselves we don't.
Well, that's huge, especially in a place like America. I'm including mm-hmm. United States and Canada, because we have this way of glossing over history and pretending like certain things did not happen because they are hard to speak about. And I think that, you know, as people of color, we have a duty to make sure people do not forget, or we give them that information so that they learn something new, even if it's hard to talk about, even if it's hard to deal with, because we have to have our kids grow up to see the lessons of the past and understand that these things can happen if X, Y, and Z are in place. So, you know, that's a big shout out for you for talking about that. You guys talk about that on the show as well, no?
Absolutely. We bring it up on the 100-year anniversary. We brought it up. We try to do as much as we possibly can, but also, you know, reminding ourselves that we as humans can do this as a part of it, and we got to check ourselves. But I also do it because those pioneers, you know, those individuals that had to go through the hardships, I'm not where I'm at without, right? There's a lot of sacrifices. And I know even in hockey, like, there's a direct correlation between what I do and the pioneer status of a Willie O'Ree. Willie O'Ree doesn't, you know, play those games, or Larry Kwong doesn't play those games, or Fred Sasaskamoos doesn't play those games. Robin Bala doesn't play those games. Guess what? You know, what I do is maybe push back 10, 15, 20 years ago, 20 years later. So to me, you know, acknowledging and showing love to those people that had to go through those hardships is a part of it as well, where history sometimes forgets. But I think if you walk in those shoes, if you live or you're in that kind of situation where you, on a daily basis, what I'm with Hockey Night Punjabi, I can't forget about those people, because they're part of the reason I do what I do, right?
What are your thoughts on the future for hockey from a grassroots level? You know, my dude, Mozim Hassan, who's also been on the show, is doing great work with Hockey for Youth. I know you guys have talked about him on your show. Also, my dude, Kevin Hodgson from Heroes, is doing some great work. What are you seeing and hearing that's getting you excited?
Well, at the grassroots level, what I've really, really liked to see over the last couple of years, and, you know, when COVID wasn't a thing, we could be out in the communities a little bit more. I had the pleasure to head out to Brampton for hometown hockey, just hitting up rinks locally here as well in BC. It's just that, from a South Asian perspective, from a Punjabi perspective, the amount of kids at the grassroots level that are playing the game, it's higher than it's been before, right? Just seeing, you know, in being in Surrey and Brampton and these areas that are you know, full of that demographic, there's a lot of a high number of kids that are now playing that game. So that's really good. But what I really like is that it's not just men. It's not just, you know, boys. Now you're starting to see that growth in the women's game as well. And that was one of the coolest things that we saw when we went to Brampton, was that, you know, we had a bunch of kids come up, and the majority of them were young South Asian girls, where you're saying, okay, wait a second. You're seeing young kids play the game. And obviously there's questions that parents have with hockey, which is are legit ones, right? You know, head injuries, cost, those are significant issues that hockey is going to have to tackle it some way and some form. But what I really saw, you know, really jump up was that just that youth level hockey, more women, more young girls were playing them. Playing the game. And that's something that I think when I was growing up, when we would hit up the rinks or we'd be hanging out, we didn't see that much. But mm-hmm. Now fast forward 10, 15 years, that involvement is so important. Now at the professional level, at the broadcast level, that's where we got to step up and say, all right, girls are playing. How do we get them more involved? How do we help them get them more involved in the broadcasting side of things, or on the actual, the leagues? I know you've talked about in the past as well, is how do you have one league that is supported by everybody, and mm-hmm. how do we give it a fair chance, right? So I think the youth side of things is, it's working. It's moving in the right direction. You're getting involvement. How does it trickle to the big leagues is something that we got to work on and say, all right, more time and opportunity for, you know, broadcasters of unique, you know, diverse backgrounds, women getting involved, but also, Let's get that league set up so we can actually make this a sport for everybody rather than just one gender right now.
Love that. You also broadcast on Sportsnet 650. So big up to the crew over there, making it happen for the people in Vancouver. You guys had another friend of the show on there, Anthony Stewart. And yep. You guys spoke about changing social injustice in hockey. How was that conversation, and what did you get out of it personally?
Yeah, I love having Anthony on the show because he's a great personality. He loves to poke fun at Vancouver as well, because he comes with the shots. But just having somebody who has lived it is, you know, one of the funnest dudes you can imagine. But also there's some experience there, right? And I think one of the things that I think we gloss over in our culture today a little bit is our experiences, right? We generally think of somebody as a hockey player and okay, yeah, how many goals or assists does he have? Well, let's talk about what a player or a broadcaster has had to go through in their life as well. And I think Anthony Stewart is somebody that I, you know, from a playing level is one thing, you know, but just having to experience and playing in, you know, the United States, when we talk about, you know, racial issues, this is a guy that's lived in, played in markets for, it was probably very, very difficult for him. So anytime he has something to say on this issue, that was something that resonated with me when I know Anthony doesn't generally, you know, he's a fun loving guy. He'll crack jokes, but when he's talking about something, especially a racial injustice, I'm listening because I know, you know, this one's definitely hitting home for him, but he also lives, you know, that experience. He's coaching kids. It's not only about identifying a problem. It's about a solution as well. And what I appreciate conversation with Anthony is that he's a guy that is on the forefront of that change as well. And that to me was an important conversation because I can assume I know what I know, but you know, that's a part of the problem. When sometimes you don't, you know, look beyond what you know, we close ourselves off to other people's experiences and that empathy aspect. So to me, just understanding where, you know, Anthony's own experiences and how as a broadcaster, but as a human being, okay, how can I relate? How can I change what I do? How can I change maybe the way I think on certain issues as well? So to me, it was more of a seeing a different side of Anthony, and that hit home because generally a fun loving guy, and having that conversation with us, like, all right, we need to, you know, we need to really focus on just in understanding each other better. And I think that was something that really hit home for me.
Yeah. And listening to that conversation, Anthony said that, you know, this is a human rights issue, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, we've been saying, especially in the hockey world, that allies are very important. You know, Hunter Ryan and I also spoke about this as not just a black and white issue. Yep. From your broadcast point of view, from the Southeast Asian community, you know, when we saw all this stuff going on with George Floyd and hearing all these stories within the hockey community, how does the Southeast Asian community become bigger allies to the black community, especially when it comes to sport?
Well, I think on the bigger question, though, of how do you become a bigger ally, and how have they, and how can you continue to? I think the understanding, we live in our own silos to a certain degree in our lives, right? Whether it's on, you know, the West Coast or within our cities, it's, you know, we generally living that experience of, you know, being a black man in Canada or in the United States. Obviously, I don't have that, but how do you break down those barriers? How do you understand? You have to have those conversations. You have to be able to understand where a person's coming from. So I think the strongest part of allyship is understanding, you know, each other and where we come from. I'm a kid of immigrants. My background is different, maybe from you know, Elijah or yourself, but like that empathy element is so important, where we're understanding where you're coming from. And I think that's where allyship starts. And when it comes to the South Asian community and, you know, the black community, that has to be the first conversation of, hey, let's find out our unique backgrounds. Let's figure out who we are. And then mm-hmm. that way it's that much more, it's easier to understand each other. The other thing is the human rights element that you mentioned. Absolutely. Right. I know from a Punjabi element, there's been some, you know, some very difficult parts in our history as well. As we've had, you know, situations in India, which have been human rights violations. And on a human level, I think Punjabis can relate to that. They can understand what, you know, trauma means. They can understand how coming out of trauma means. And I think if we are coming from a perspective of, hey, human rights violations against any community are wrong, let's start there. Let's understand the issue. Let's understand the issue beyond just the one incident, but let's understand history as well. Let's understand how folks, you know, how it's gotten here. And to me, that's really important about that, is that having those conversations, understanding that, hey, human rights violations regardless of the community, but in this case, obviously the Black community, it's a very, very, you know, important issue that it involves all of us, because we're all people. We need to tackle this issue together. And that's why standing together next to some, you know, a community, next to an individual, next to a friend is so important, because you support them and that's how change is made, right? If it was my community that I was being, you know, had this history of essentially, you know, slavery and then years and years of essentially a society keeping you down and the rules of the game are against you and they've been created against you, I would hope my neighbor would understand that and be empathetic as well. And that's why I think it's really, and the empathy element is so important, because we gotta put ourselves in those shoes as well, man. Like, and that's why, you know, I'm not a you know, an expert obviously on this issue, but I think from a human rights level, a human empathy level, that's where allyship starts. And that's where we everybody has to pitch in. And this is not a time thing. This is a forever, like this is life, right? We got to do this wherever an issue comes up, because it's important to all of us, regardless of what our background is. It's just being good human beings and standing for what is right.
You mentioned earlier that covering sports was your dream job, dream come true. What was it like when you first got that call that you were going to be covering sports?
Ooh, okay. The first time for Hockey Night Canada Punjabi, I was kind of skeptical, I'm not going to lie. And the reason I say that was Bhupinder, who I mentioned earlier, he mentioned that he's like, we're doing this. We got the rights, the Rogers hockey rights. And you speak Punjabi, so let's do it. You're a huge hockey fan. You've been somebody that's followed the game. And I was just like, man, I don't think my Punjabi is good enough. I don't know if I can do this. So I'll be honest, I was at like 50-50. I was like, I'm not really sure if I should be doing this. And what happened was, he's like, no, you're doing it. He's like, this is a chance of a lifetime. You better do it. And I kind of got pushed into it, which was fine by me. Sometimes being uncomfortable, not sometimes, being uncomfortable is a great thing, right? Especially, you know, when you're taking a chance, and it's the best decision I could have made, or I was forced to be made, because it changed my life, right? Being involved with Hockey Night in Canada, Punjabi, all of a sudden, the other opportunities in radio opened up, the other opportunities in doing intermission interviews with the Canucks as well, that opened up. So it's been, I have to admit though, like early on, I was just saying, I don't know. I don't know if it's for me, but it worked out.
That's so cool, man, because you have to be ready, and you were obviously ready and willing to jump right into the deep end and do this. Cause like you said, you didn't go to radio and television broadcast school,
no.
But you made it happen, which is interesting. Why I can relate to that so much is the same path for me. I didn't go to radio and television broadcast school. I just knew there was something I wanted to do. And somebody by the name of Julie Adams gave me the opportunity in radio and just said, go for it. And I got your back, and I'll help you where I can. And even a guy like this guy named Eldon Maskell gave me my first opportunity on television. These are people that, you know, that see something in somebody. And I think that's the biggest thing you can hope for in human beings, is to be able to see something in you. How has the broadcast, your broadcast specifically, celebrated Asian and Pacific Islanders Month, which we are about to wrap up right now?
So what we've been doing, and I mentioned Amrit earlier as well, is, and Amrit's been doing some great stories and profiles of highlighting individuals that have made a difference. So she's been doing some great profile stories on individuals. But what I like to do is throughout the year, I like to sprinkle in important stories to tell. And, you know, the Larry Kwong story of when he played his NHL game, his first NHL game, it was outside the month, but I wanted to highlight that. So on our show, we did something that was a highlighting who Larry Kwong was, because I think what we do is, and I mentioned this earlier, like we live in our silos to a certain degree, where I'm a Punjabi South Asian hockey fan, so I know about Jujhar Khaira, I know about Manny Malhotra, I know about Robin Bawa, but as a broadcaster, I feel it's my responsibility to tell a story about a Willie O'Ree. It's you know, Herb Carnegie, a Larry Kwong or an Angela James. That's a part of our responsibility as well, as to to say, hey, yeah, we got heroes, but guess what? There's another hero in another community that is relevant to you, because we're kind of in that same story. It's a hockey story, right? It's a human story. So to me, Amrit's stories have been real key for us during this month. And she's been profiling individuals of backgrounds throughout, the entire year. But beyond that, I just like to throw in those mentions during the regular season, regardless of the month, because I think it's an important story to tell, to say, yeah, we got our heroes, but learn about this individual too, because they're relevant to what we do. They're relevant to who we are and how we got into this game of hockey. So I think with most of what we try to do is we try to sprinkle it in throughout the year.
Yeah, man. Great stories are great stories regardless. And if we're in the hockey space, we have to celebrate it all. And, you know, if anybody argues with you about that, just say to them, why do you think we are in the state we are today? Because the game has always been predominantly white, and that's all they did was talk about their stories. So we have to come on and talk about our stories. But if we now just start talking only about our stories, we're going to run into the same problem.
Exactly.
So what we got to do is take all of these great stories, mix them in a pot, and say, if you like hockey, there's great stories. And that's what stories are all about.
And speaking of which, though, one of my favorite all-time stories that some people know, some people don't. It's a great, great story. It's Willie O'Ree. He's married to a Punjabi woman. Del Monic from Vancouver Island. And it's just a cool, we like to say, this is our story, that is our story. And just, no, we're all in it together. So there's a Punjabi story there. Obviously there's a Black Canadian story there as well. And an African Canadian story there. So to me, it's like, let's celebrate that. Let's look at those moments and say, hey, let's talk about this. And I'm with you. So that's why when there's a cool story to celebrate, we try to do it as much as we possibly can. And can we do better? Absolutely. But that's a part of it, right? You learn what your gaps are. You learn what you're not representing, and you try to do a better job. And to your point, when people might criticize certain elements about the game being more inclusive, when I started at Hockey Night back in 2014, so it's been over 7 years now, I remember we'd send out a tweet, something as similar as, hey, getting ready for the show, and be a picture of myself, Harner, and Bupinda. And we would get replies with referencing terrorism and referencing, negative things. And that's, back then it was something that essentially saying, hey, don't let these guys into your arena or this sort of thing, like just hateful stuff. Right. Over time, I feel as though those have really gone down, and those are nowhere to be seen, because we've normalized.
Thank you.
Why is that?
You just said
we've normalized it. We're here, right? We're a part of the hockey infrastructure, and that's the key. Whereas more people get involved, and we allow, we don't gatekeep. Where we just basically say, hey, come on in. Hockey is inclusive to everyone, and the more you do that, comments like that will go down, because we're going to have our own stories.
You're going
to
look like an idiot. You're going to be the only one there. You know, I remember when two Southeast Asian brothers were on TSN and
Nabil and Gurdeep. Yeah.
And they got bit. Yeah. And they got busy on them the next day. And I'm just like, you guys are a bunch of fools to even like the time you have to waste to be negative about what these guys are just broadcasting. It's the same thing. They're reading the same teleprompter as everybody else. It's just, they look a little different. It's, and you said it right. And that's the thing that I really have pledged myself with, is normalizing minority faces and voices in the game of hockey. because once it becomes normal, those other voices become small and minimal, and they are the types of voices that mean nothing. And they should never mean anything right now, but I'm glad you guys have stood the test of time and didn't let those negative comments bring you down spiritually, because it, you know, let's be honest, sometimes those can be. I mean, Hunter Ryan has told me stories of going in arenas and some of the hateful yeah. things that have been said towards him. So, you know, guys like yourself and your whole crew need to be the ones that rise above, because it's not about you. It's about the kids and those who want to come after you. But this has been a great conversation. And, you know, before we let you go, we do a thing that we like to rock with all of our guests. It's our yep. top five. It's the five songs that get you hyped up. Now, obviously, you are not a player. Okay. So there's not five songs you're going to listen to going to the ring and going to game seven of the playoffs. But you are a person that broadcasts, and so you have to be on point. Your energy has to be up. You have to be focused. You have to feel good. Your energy has to be plus 10. So give me five songs that you may listen to on your way to broadcasting Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab. And, oh, I'm hoping you give me some good home-cooked food on this one, brother.
Okay, I got a couple, and there's going to be a bit of a mix and match here because I love hip-hop as well. So I see Nas Illmatic right behind you there. One of the ones that I love, The World Is Yours, Nas, just gets me okay. right focused. So, like, that's one of my go-tos. All Eyes on Me, Tupac Shakur, is up there. It just kind of gets me. So those are my hip-hop references. As you can tell, I'm an old-school hip-hop guy, right? Love it. Beyond that, Punjabi songs.
Look at the smile on Kwame's face.
I love it.
No, so I got a little bit from the Queensbridge, and I got some for the West Coast to represent both coasts. So those are definitely the ones that are from hip-hop and Punjabi music. All right, every show, pre-show, I put on music for the show, and we get right. So Tiger Style is a song that we went viral on, actually. If you go to Twitter.
I saw that. I have seen that.
Nachana Andani is one of the ones that we were jamming to. So that's one of my get right songs and get, you know, focused. Couple other ones. One of my big fan of the show, actually, Diljit Dosanjh. He's one of the bigger stars in India right now. He's got a song. He actually wrote for Rihanna. Okay. It's called Riri. Rihanna. So she spoke out against some of what's going on in India right now with some farmers protests mm-hmm. that are very hitting home for a lot of folks, and for my background, Punjabi speakers especially. Government's come out with some laws that are potentially crippling to the farmers in that country, and Rihanna supported the farmers in their protests. So that's one of the ones that I get right with as well. It's called Riri, Diljit Dosanjh. He's a great artist as well. And five. All right. Number five.
It can go anywhere.
Okay. I'm going to go hip hop again because my playlist is all hip hop and Punjabi. So okay. I'm going to go. Man. You know what? Rest in peace. Darkman X, DMX. I'm going to go with. How's It Going Down? It's one of his slower songs from It's Dark and Hell Is Hot. But that's one of those ones when I'm in a mellow mood, when I'm a decompressed mode after right. the show. I'll How's It Going Down?
I like that. That's one of those mind lyrics that, you know, you're not trying to wild out. You're just trying to, you know, just kind of feel some good energy and some exactly. good lyricism. So I love that, brother. Randy, this has been a great conversation, and I gotta ask you this though, you know, and you know, please be 100% with this. Did Hunter Ryan sell out, man? Did he sell out for the big bucks? Feel free to throw him under the bus. Feel free to start some beef. He's out. You know what I mean? He started with y'all, now he's gone to the big, like, what's going on here, man?
Okay, if anybody, and Hunter Ryan knows this, if there's anybody to throw shade on the show and create beefs, it's me.
Yes.
I'm that guy. I'm that guy that just, you know, creates the drama. I like to do it for fun sometimes. He has not. Let's put it that way. He hasn't hit anybody with a steel chair at a wrestling match. He's doing amazing things. Like, he is a top three play-by-play guy for Hockey Night in Canada. I can't believe I'm saying this. Born 1986, grew up with Bob Cole, you know, Jim Houston, Chris Cuthbert all over the years, and now we can add his name to it. So as much as I want to beef and as much as I want to create that drama, because that's what I like to do sometimes, I can't. He's doing amazing things, man.
Yeah, he's doing great work, man. Big shout out to Hunter Ryan. I'm just playing with the homie. I know you're a big wrestling guy too. Have you been watching the A&E documentary series?
I haven't caught that yet, but my family, my dad to this day, he's 75 years old. He will watch every wrestling show. So to this day, like, I'm an old school guy. I'm in the, you know, late 80s, 90s, 2000s. I catch it when I can now, especially got a couple of friends that are in wrestling. The Bollywood boys who are in NXT. And then, of course, Jinder Mahal, former heavyweight champ for the WWE. So a couple of shout out to those guys as well. But I haven't been watching that closely, AEW. But, you know, we'll see. Look out for another guy, though. I'll give you another guy to look out for. Okay. Arjun Singh Pulav. He's from BC here. He just won a MMA title. I think he wants to go AEW. So just keep an eye out that.
Well, I don't watch as much as I used to. And what I was referring to is, you know, the channel A&E. They've had some
documentaries. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The last one I just watched was on The Ultimate Warrior. There's one on Roddy Piper. Okay. Like, really good. If you know, I'm sure.
I haven't got this yet.
If you have a chance to check them out, they're really good. But Ranjit, brother, man, I'll tell you guys this. This is God honest truth. And I predicted this for Julie Chu last week. I said, Julie, when they induct you into the Hockey Hall of Fame, who are you going to thank first? And I'm telling you this, and they'll play this back. You guys will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame as builders. You heard it here first. So keep doing what you're doing. And I can't wait to that day that I'm sitting in the crowd and say, looking at you and going, I told you so. So keep up the good work, bro.
Thank you for the kind words, man. And I love what you guys are doing, yourself and Elijah and Akil as well. You're having those conversations that mean so much. And I'm, you know, even when we started Hockey Night way back when, we were kind of doing our own thing and we weren't supported, and it felt alone. We're not alone anymore, man. We got a group, and this is what you're doing is a part of that. This is that conversation is so important. So thank you for the kind words. Thank you for having me. And we'll touch base again soon. I'm sure you're doing a lot of exciting things, man. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, man. Maybe we get Elijah to be a special guest on Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab. His Punjabi's not too good, but I think he can.
I'm from Brampton. I know a little bit.
Okay. So, but some of those words you can't use on air, though, Elijah. I know what you're probably told. You got to be careful with some of those.
Yeah. Randy, thank you, my brother. You have yourself a great day, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys, and keep up the amazing work. Peace.
Peace. That was Randeep Janda from Hockey Night in Canada, Punjab, rocking with the best. Elijah Roberts, how cool was that? You know, we are a podcast. I'll tell you this, Elijah, we're probably the most diverse podcast in hockey ever, as far as our guests go. And I'm just going to put it out there. There's no other podcast out there that has gotten really great guests from all different communities, just talking hockey, talking life, and just being personal and having a lot of fun.
Yeah, as you guys were just finishing that up there, I like kind of thought of that. I was like, you know, last week we had Julie. I don't even know who we had the week before, but our guests are always just so diverse. King
Thompson, actors.
Yeah, we really tap into everything, which is pretty special.
Yeah, that's what we got to keep doing. And we love you guys all for supporting us and listening to us each and every week. Again, make sure you check us out on all of our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Subscribe, rate, and review. Let's make this bigger and better. Enjoy the weather out there. Akil Thomas will be back pretty soon, we promise. But for now, for my man Elijah Roberts, my name is Kwame. Enjoy the rest of the NHL playoffs. We'll see you next week. And we out. Bong, bong.
And when we make it, we gonna put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, and the arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Cheese a dozen, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. Competition on the table, which time for lunch? Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie, progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold a show and older, they live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali, he changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee, it's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jade and Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinta. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, boy. That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house where to get by. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice.